Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. One of my chief delights as a preacher and as a teacher has been the opportunity of working with so many young people. For almost 50 years, I have worked with young people among the churches of Christ. During my years of preaching, I have known and loved young people in Tennessee, in Georgia, in Florida, in Michigan, and in Kentucky. I have taught young people in regular Sunday school classes and in vacation Bible schools. I taught my first vacation Bible school at Benton, Kentucky, when I was 23 years of age. Since that time, I have probably worked in no fewer than 75 vacation Bible schools. I began my public teaching career in the English department at Benton High School when I was 22. 44 years later, it is always a special joy to see some of my high school English students and to know they learned at least a little English. I began my college teaching responsibilities at the age of 27. Since then, I have literally taught thousands of young people, both on the undergraduate and on the graduate level. I am still teaching at Freed Hardeman University and have some of the finest young people enrolled in my classes you could possibly find. I am privileged to speak to hundreds and hundreds of young people every year in churches, in youth meetings and retreats, and on college campuses. Almost daily, I have some young person to mention that he or she listens to our radio program. In fact, some of our most enthusiastic listeners are young people. While our radio program is not designed primarily for young people, we do hope they will listen regularly and learn about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, and about His church. I have given you a brief look into my background in school and church work to let you know how much I love young people and have enjoyed working with them for so many years. I have a special interest in children and in young people, and always have had. If a man does not love young people, why would he ever become a teacher or a preacher? I constantly urge churches to teach their young people, to provide for their genuine needs, and to show love and respect for them. Our children and young people are not just the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. But I would like to raise a flag of caution in our dealings with children and young people. By the very nature of the case, they do not have the experience, the knowledge, the skill, and the maturity of older people. All people have to grow into maturity and wisdom. We are not born with these qualities. The Apostle Peter urged all Christians, not just the young, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. God has charged the older generation with the responsibility of helping our young people to grow physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually. Luke 2:52. We help them by listening to their concerns and providing guidance, love, instruction, and examples. My friends, God will hold all of us, parents, preachers, teachers, elders, governmental leaders, accountable for what we do for the youth of our land. Solomon wrote, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22:6. The Old Testament has a powerful story about the folly of making decisions based on the advice of young people. I am referring to Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12, 1-24. When King Solomon died, the successor to the throne of Israel was Rehoboam, King Solomon's son, 1 Kings 11:43. As you know from reading the Old Testament, King Solomon had not exactly been a paragon of perfection. But his son Rehoboam had an opportunity and an obligation to correct some of Solomon's bountiful errors and to lead the Israelites back to God. Rehoboam could have become a great king. But he made the foolish mistake of listening to the wrong advisors. Rehoboam began his reign at the age of 41 and reigned 17 years in the city of Jerusalem. 1 Kings 14:21. The Bible's description of Rehoboam's reign is not very flattering to this son of King Solomon. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places, and images, and groves, on every high hill, and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. 1 Kings 14, 22-24. Incidentally, the high places and images and groves were signs of idolatry among the Israelites. How does one explain the foolish mistakes of Rehoboam and his fellow countrymen? There were probably at least two explanations. First, King Solomon had allowed idolatry to flourish in Israel. Some of the women he married were idol worshippers and had brought their beliefs and practices with them to the palace in Jerusalem. Second, Rehoboam was stupid enough to take the counsel of his youthful advisors, the young men with whom he had grown up. After Solomon died, Rehoboam made a journey to Shechem, so that all Israel might see him crowned as king. 1 Kings 12:1. Jeroboam had fled to Egypt while Solomon was reigning. He had remained in Egypt until he learned of Solomon's death. He then returned to Palestine to speak with the new king, Rehoboam. These are Jeroboam's words to the new king. Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make the grievous service of your father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve you. 1 Kings 12, 2-4. Jeroboam's advice was reasonable and legitimate. Rehoboam listened to the words of Jeroboam, and then asked for 3 days to consult with his counselors. 1 Kings 12:5. Rehoboam first approached the older men who had served with King Solomon. These elders in Israel had been able to observe how their people had been burdened. Rehoboam asked these older men, "How do you advise that I may answer the people?" They responded with wisdom and compassion, "If you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them, and speak good to them, that they will be your servants forever." 1 Kings 12:6 and 7. You can almost hear the pleading in the voices of these elders of God's people. They knew how hard life had been under Solomon, especially in the last years of Solomon's reign, and they longed for relief from their burdens. Was their request of Rehoboam unreasonable? The old men in Israel recommended what has come to be known in our day as servant leadership. Every leader should have as his goal to serve God by serving those whom he leads. Rehoboam was urged to serve the Israelites and to speak good things to them. Unfortunately, Rehoboam did not have enough good sense to understand the importance of these older men's proposals. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that had grown up with him, and which stood before him. 1 Kings 12:8. Rehoboam asked the young men in Israel how he ought to rule the Jews. Their answer ought to give every modern church and every college and university good reasons for not taking the advice of young people too wholeheartedly. Rehoboam told the young men that the older men had counseled moderation and compassion. 1 Kings 12:9. The young men said, "You shall speak unto this people that spoke unto you, saying, Your father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter unto us. Thus shall you say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, and I will chastise you with scorpions. 1 Kings 12:10-12. Rehoboam listened to the idiotic advice of the young men he had known since he was a boy. His behavior brought about division in the nation of Israel. Jeroboam and the 10 tribes in the north seceded from the nation and became a separate kingdom. The 10 tribes in the north became abominably evil and turned to idolatry. Eventually, Israel was conquered by the Assyrians and, except for a few stragglers, disappeared from the face of the earth. Rehoboam cannot be charged with total responsibility for Israel's sinful condition, but he did push Israel in the wrong direction. If he had only listened to the older men and not to the boys. I'm not saying that division would not have occurred regardless of Rehoboam's behavior. I do not know what might have happened. But I do know that Rehoboam was responsible for the heartaches which developed between Israel and Judah. He made a choice which no nation or school or church can afford to make. Many churches and schools have failed miserably because they have appealed to the young people to the exclusion of the older and wiser people. Many American universities have compromised their academic and moral responsibilities because they have listened to the demands of their students. In fact, there is hardly a college or university in the United States which has not made that mistake. How else do you explain colleges teaching courses in advanced frisbee throwing? My friends, I'm not saying to you that the advice of older people is always correct. There are no infallible counselors, young or old. But men and women with years of experience in most cases are going to make more sense than young people who have not sufficiently matured to know what path we ought to follow. The experience of the whole human race confirms this conclusion. I'm not telling you we should not listen to our young people. Some of the wisest and most mature people I have ever met are college young people. So many of them are wise beyond their years. But it is a grievous mistake to decide what is best for our young people simply by listening to them. They have not lived long enough, nor had enough experience to make decisions like the one Rehoboam asked the young men in Israel to make. Why does the Bible specifically mention elders as leaders among God's people? Why do we have college administrators, boards of directors, and experienced teachers if we are going to allow students or other young people to make the decisions for the college or university? For the remainder of our time today, let me talk with you briefly about some of the mistakes some churches are making in their dealings with our young people. Let me be understood very clearly. I'm not going to accuse any church or university of deliberately using bad judgment in their work with our children and with our young people. I have no doubt that most churches are sincerely seeking the way that is best for all of their members, young and old alike. But America for the past 20 or 25 years has been a youth-oriented culture, and to some extent, still is. And whatever happens in society in general almost always infiltrates the church. Paul condemns such conformity with the world, but it happens anyway, unless there is a conscious effort to prevent its happening. Television and other media outlets have led the way in appealing to the young people of the nation. And I am not speaking primarily about the fact that many, if not most, television programs are designed especially for the young. I'm talking about the practice of some news programs of consulting so-called experts who are not dry behind the ears. Oftentimes, the networks will ask young lawyers, young child care experts, and other young scholars about the most difficult and persistent problems this country faces. so many of these so-called experts are very knowledgeable in their special field, but they have not developed mature judgment. People in my home county used to say concerning such inflated egos, they have book learning, but they don't have any sense. My friends, just because a young person, or an older one, has a PhD or an MD or a THD, does not mean he knows enough to advise the president of a university or the president of the United States. One of the grievous mistakes President John F. Kennedy made was taking the advice of young counselors who were highly educated, but who were too liberal politically, morally, and in many other ways. A young ruler like Rehoboam desperately needs to surround himself with older and wiser men and not make the mistake of listening to dangerous advice from men of his own generation. Incidentally, the men to whom Rehoboam listened were not exactly boys. Rehoboam himself was 41 when he began to reign. He consulted the men with whom he had grown up. 1 Kings 12:8. We are justified in concluding that Rehoboam's advisors were probably in their late 30s or early 40s. But whatever their age, Rehoboam made a fatal mistake in taking their advice and not listening to the older and wiser men in Israel. My concern today has nothing to do with who counsels the governor of the state or the president of the United States, although I am deeply concerned about both, but with what elders of the church are hearing and what Christian colleges and universities are doing. Churches and other public institutions make a grievous error when they fail to listen to the ideas, concerns, and needs of our young people. I have known churches whose leaders and members had no idea what problems and heartaches their young people were facing. Those churches may have been concerned, and I honestly believe most of them were and are, about the growth of the Lord's kingdom, about the mission and message the church was supposed to promote. But they saw no connection between their work and the teaching and supporting of the children and young persons within the church. Unfortunately, many of those churches are now in the process of dying and do not seem to know why. Are you, as a church leader or a church member, informing yourself about such matters as premarital sex, illicit drugs, sexually transmitted diseases, the relevance of the Christian religion to the everyday lives of children and young people? Are you discussing these matters with your young people, or are you dismissing these items as if they were of no importance? All of us, preachers, elders, parents, governmental leaders, and others, must let our young people know that we understand their problems and concerns, and that we are willing to work with them and help them in every way we are able. Many churches are at a critical point in their dealings with our young people. If we fail them, we could easily lose a whole generation. I'm not attempting to be overly dramatic, but the truth is, we have already lost hundreds of thousands of our young people. When I began to preach in the early 1940s, I did not know of any church anywhere who employed a youth minister. The trend now among churches of Christ, as well as among other religious groups, is to have at least one full-time preacher and a full-time youth minister. The church at Scotts Hill, where I have preached for the past 11.5 years, has a full-time youth minister all of the time. It has been good for the church and for the young people who have worked with us. I applaud the wisdom and foresight of Scotts Hill's elders in having these young men to work with the church. But there could be and are problems in many churches because the youth minister has not had proper supervision and guidance from the elders of the church. There are cases where the youth ministers have created tension between the young people in the church and the older members. The youth ministers have left the impression with the young people that the elders and the older members are not in touch with the world as it is. The older members are still living in the 19th century, or even the 18th century, and do not understand, or perhaps do not even care, what the young people are undergoing. This means that elders must know what the youth minister is teaching the children of the church. If the elders do not keep up with what is occurring, they could have rebellion on their hands. If the elders do not supervise the youth minister and allow him to get a following among the youth of the congregation, when they do attempt to get a handle on the situation, they could be in for some rough sledding. I'm acquainted with a church in another state which allowed a youth minister, called at that time campus minister, to create among the young people disrespect for the elders and for the older members. The young people asked the elders to step down and permit them to operate the church. When the elders refused, the youth movement separated from the church, moved down the street a few blocks, and started their own church. That tragedy could have been prevented if the elders had been more concerned about remaining faithful than in increasing numbers. Almost all religious groups have encountered similar problems. The cultic movements in this country, such as the Unification Church, commonly called the Moonies, have appealed to high school and college students almost to the exclusion of older people, and have often created a conflict between the younger and the older generations. This is a serious breach of common sense and of the explicit teaching of Scripture. All of us, young and old alike, need each other and should work together for the furtherance of the Lord's church. Older people and younger people must not become adversaries. We need each other. And any group which strives to pit one generation against another is totally out of order. Incidentally, youth ministers in some cases have also created problems between children and their parents. They have even instructed the young people not to tell their parents what goes on in youth meetings and retreats. Again, the key to preventing this kind of tragedy is for elders and other religious leaders to know the men they employ to be youth ministers and to maintain constant supervision over youth activities. If my sons had been encouraged to rebel against their parents or to go behind their backs, I would have encouraged elders to dismiss such a youth minister. If they had not done so, we would have moved. God's holy book does not ignore our youth. Listen to the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:1-14. The Apostle Paul wrote to two young preachers, Timothy and Titus. Paul's words apply to every young person, whether a preacher or not. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation or manner of living, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in love. 1 Timothy 4:12. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Titus 2:6-8. What a great joy through my life to associate with and to work with thousands of outstanding young people. Working with our students at Fried Hardeman University has enriched my life and challenged me to study, to research, and to do the very best in the classroom that I am able. I pray to God Almighty that I shall be able to teach children and young people as long as I live on this earth. But we must realize that young people are immature, not prepared to make decisions for churches and for Christian colleges and universities. This is not to belittle or to discourage our children and our young people, but to recognize how limited they are in their experience and knowledge and wisdom. My friends, we thank you for listening today. May our Heavenly Father continue to bless you.